Thank you, Hannah. We're going to be looking closely at that one great verse declaring the love of God today. For God so loved the world. So we're going to look at that and break it down. But before we do, let me ask God to bless our time one more time in prayer. Living Lord, you do love us. And we thank you that your word declares that. Give us a sense of your love through the proclamation of that word, we pray, to the glory of Jesus and in his name. Amen. And guys, this is the song in our heart, that God loves us and that this love is what we were made for. He made us that we might be in relationship with him. Again, that great proposition of biblical truth. And that's at the heart of Christian theology. At the very heart of the Christian message is that we can know God through Jesus Christ, and we can know the very love of God. Not based on sentimentality. It's not about, it's not a romantic love that we see on a movie or read about in a novel. No, this is divine and holy love. And that's what we want to learn about today. This divine and holy love that is so wonderfully expressed in this great verse, what many would claim to be the greatest verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. There is no love like the love of God, Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the love of God in his Son has been the subject of the deepest meditation and contemplation throughout the ages. It has been beautifully set to music. We've been singing of the love of God. It has been eloquently proclaimed from pulpits and all around the world for the last 2,000 years. And throughout the ages, men and women of God have done their best to pen, to put on paper expressions of this great love of God. And yet with all of that, it seems like we barely can touch the surface of the depth and the reality of his love. The great reformer Martin Luther said this in the 16th century, John 3:16 is the Bible in miniature. And that's not a bad description. The Bible, in great preachers Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, that John 3:16 is a synopsis of theology. And he counted no less than 8 doctrines that are represented in that one verse alone, John 3:16. Well, what I want us to do today is look at this great verse and just share with you some features of God's love, some expressions of God's love. Now, I've got 10, okay? So this is a 10-point sermon, okay? Are you ready? A 10-point sermon. We're going to go quick. We're going to go quick, so you're going to have to listen quick. But let's just look at this verse. For God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only son. He sacrificially gave his only son that whoever would believe in him, place their faith, their trust in him, in the Son of God, in Jesus, would not perish, but to work from when we talk about God's love. The first one is this. God's love is only one of his characteristics. He has numerous characteristics that make up his person. And love is just one of them. Compassion, mercy, grace or others, anger, his wrath, his jealousy. These are part of God's character. We need to understand God in his fullness. And to only see God in love, in his love, is to not understand him in his fullness, and ultimately is to have a weak biblical theology. So that's just a prerequisite. This is one of his characteristics. However, having said that, God's holy love is the foundational characteristic of who he is. God is holy. God is love. And we're going to see some aspects of that. Another thing on redemption, God so loved the world that he gave his son. but also in correction and discipline of his children. How many of you have been disciplined by the hand of God? Well, that's a loving act of God as well. I know I have. But his love is expressed in different ways. And God's love also allows for a variety of responses. Some respond to his love with rejection and disbelief and disobedience. Others respond to his love with acceptance and obedience. Some with indifference and resentment. And others with reception and faith. You know, I had to respond to Cindy's love for me. When she was chasing me down. I had to respond to that. And she had to respond to my overtures of love as well. We have to respond to this. There was a man who came up to Jesus. He was called a rich young ruler, Lord of love. You know you can do that? People can do that. But we have to know that there are varieties of ways of responding to this love. Okay, well, that kind of as a prerequisite. Let me get into these 10 expressions of God's love that we see right here in John 3:16. The first one is this. Number one, God's love is Trinitarian. God's love is Trinitarian. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that we can see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in this one verse. Look at it. For God so loved. That's a reference to the Father, that he gave his only Son. Of course, that's a reference to the Son. That whoever believes, and my dear friends, we are told that we cannot believe outside of the work of the Holy Spirit. So we find here the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in this one verse. The Spirit in the background, as he usually is, but the Spirit there, nevertheless, God's love, the world. No one is exempt from God's love. No one can escape it. God loves the world. Now, that's not only to be a reference to the scope of his love, and it certainly is that. God loves the world, everyone, the created order God loves, but it also has reference to the world's reaction to God. And often, as the scripture uses, especially John in his gospel and in the New Testament, the world is often used as a way of saying rejecting God. The world is anti-God. God even loves that world. This is the love of God. It is universal. Number three, it is universal, but it's also personal. God's love is personal. As we look at this passage again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever, now it's getting down to one, a man named Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus at night, asking him about his revelations from God. And he is telling a single man about the love of God. Whoever, including you, Nicodemus, whoever believes would have eternal life. You know, years ago, I was just a kid. I remember a preacher saying that God's love is so personal that you can put your very name in John 3:16. And I think he was certainly right. God so loved the world, or God so loved Jeff that he gave his only Son. You can put your name there. God so loved you. Some of you remember a great Italian crooner named Dean Martin. Do y'all remember Dean Martin? Some of you youngsters, you may not remember him, but I love Dean Martin. One song that he used to sing, and I still love this song, "You're Nobody to Somebody, but Gold Won't Bring You Happiness When You're Growing Old." Now, at a basic level, that's true. You're nobody till somebody loves you. But if that's true, then everybody is somebody because God loves everybody, right? If you're nobody till somebody loves you, then everybody is somebody because God loves everybody. He loves you. And we're somebody. We are. Our identity is there. That's our identity. God loves us. And I'm telling you, he loved you from the foundation of the world, before you committed your first of many sins against him. And that's true for me. He loved us, and he loves us. As Charles Spurgeon, the great 19th century preacher, said, "Believer, God loves you as much as if there were nobody else in all the world to love. God can pour the infinite love of his heart upon one object and child. Peer into this abyss of love. plunge into this sea, dive into this depth unsearchable. Oh, that God might direct you into the immeasurable greatness of His love. I would rather have one mouthful of Christ's love, one sip of His fellowship, than a whole world full of carnal delights. And He is certainly right. God's love is personal. Number four, God's love is sacrificial. Look at this verse again. For God so loved the world that He what? That He gave. He sacrificially gave His only Son. And that's true love. True love is self-giving. It is sacrificial. This is the divine love of God. As Jesus would later say, greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is, and for us, it is that kind of love is worthy of our acceptance, of our undivided affection. That type of love is worthy of our unreserved service and commitment. It eclipses all other loves. His love is sacrificial. Of course, we could spend much time there. Number five, God's love is saving. It is saving. Notice again in this verse, we have the doctrine here of God's love, but also to a lost world. It says that He sent His Son that we should not perish. We should not perish. He came to save from the penalty and the power of sin. The word here in the Greek is apolimai, which means to destroy or to lose or perish. So God's love in Jesus Christ is a saving love. The very next verse, verse 17, Jesus continues His thought here and He says this, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. That's the love of God. It is a saving love. Revelation 1:5 says this, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Notice how they go together. To the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. It is a saving love. Number six, God's love is a holy love. It is a holy love. His love, a love that is indifferent to sin. Holy love seeks to forgive sin. Holy love seeks to lift us out of sin. You see, holy justice cannot overlook sin. The holiness of God, the justness of God, must condemn sin and must punish sin. And holy love says there must be a way to save the sinner. And the way was found, the sending of the Son, and upon Him was placed our sin. He is the substitute. It is a holy love on the cross. Christ taking our sin upon Himself. Oh, and by the way, this kind of holy love of God that is seen in the person of Jesus is to be planted in our hearts. And we too are to live out this holiness of life and holy love in our lives. God's love is conditional. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, there's two words here. It says, whoever, that's the unconditional part of it. God so loved the world that whoever believes. There's the condition. Whoever, that's anyone, believes. Unconditional and conditional. You see, the benefits of His love must be received. His love is unconditional in scope. It encompasses everyone in this room. But it is conditional in its effect. Because it says, whoever believes will not perish. There's our gospel. In Jesus Christ, faith in Him. Notice the very next verse in, we read verse 17, look at verse 18. Whoever believes in Him, there's the condition, is not condemned. But notice the name of the only Son of God. unconditional in its scope, conditional in its effect. Whoever believes. Number eight, God's love is healing. I think it's fair to use this word based on the context. God's love is healing. The two verses before we get to verse 16 speak to that very nature of salvation. Let me read to you John 3, 14 and 15. Again, Jesus prefaces this great statement in verse 16 with these verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then he goes into, for God so loved the world that he gave. Now verses 14 and 15 look back to the Old Testament against God in various ways. And so God judged them. And part of the judgment was these snakes coming into the camp. And many people were bitten by these snakes, and many of them died. And some were getting very sick and they were dying. God gave Moses the remedy. And he told Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole and to lift it up. And whoever would look upon that bronze pole would be healed. And this is the very imagery or illustration from the Old Testament that Jesus uses in the context of John 3:16. He's saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son in like manner, so that we could be healed, so that the sin-sick soul could look to Jesus, who is lifted up on the cross and lifted up on high and his name proclaimed. Doesn't necessarily mean God loved the world so much. That's not it. Now, certainly there's an element of that. What it's saying is God so loved the world as God loved the people of Israel in verses 14 and 15, that he sent the remedy for sin. And whoever would believe and look to the remedy would be forgiven and saved. God's love, he loved the world in such a way that it heals. Number nine, God's love is best seen on the cross. His love is best seen there. Romans 5 and verse 8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is the demonstration of love. God does not just say he loves us. He has demonstrated his own love toward us. And that while we were sinners, paid in full in the person of Jesus Christ. The great Puritan Octavius Winslow said this, oh God, I read your heart in the cross. Do you want to see the heart of God? Do you want to read the heart of God? It's in the cross, in the wounds, in the tears, in the anguish, in the blood of your Son, Jesus. And finally, God's love is eternal. It is eternal. That whosoever believes in him would have everlasting life. Everlasting life. God's love is everlasting. There's no expiration date on the love of God. There's no end to this love. Romans chapter 8 speaks to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is an everlasting and an overcoming love. That is why in the small letter in the New Testament known as Jude, one verse says this, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we respond to this? How do you respond to John 3:16? Well, we admit our sin, right? The doctrine is there that we may not perish. We must admit our sin. Christ was on the cross not for his own sin, but our sin was placed upon him. He is the substitute. So we admit our sin. Number two, we abandon any efforts to save ourselves. This passage precludes any measure of self-salvation, doesn't it? Jesus said, so that you may not perish, you have to believe on the name of Jesus. receive him into your life. Accept here the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's how you respond to John 3:16. This is the Bible in miniature. This is a synopsis of theology. God so loved the world, you, that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe and place their trust in him would not be lost, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together.